Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where as always, we're here together working to improve our financial IQ. Total Wealth Academy is a education, coaching, consulting program for people who want to learn how to use real estate to build a second stream of income to supplement or replace their present stream of income, whether it's a job or self-employment. That a lot of people, I think the vast majority of people, really just use it as a second stream of income. Most people continue to work in one way or another. I want to talk today about an interesting concept. I met with a gentleman today who had a very unfortunate situation and turned it into something positive. It's a thing called the near-death experience. And he basically said, man, I don't wish this on anybody, but I highly recommend it. And I think I understood exactly what he was saying, because when you have a near-death experience, everybody who goes through that seems to excel afterwards. They do more, they achieve more. His perspective shed some lights on some weaknesses in my life, because he's had that near-death experience. He almost died. And when he got healthy again, his whole perspective changed. And he was trying to share a little bit of it with me. His whole conversation with me was almost, I shouldn't say whole, 80% of the conversation was legacy based. What is going to be left behind when I'm gone? How can I help and serve other people when I'm gone? And I think that a lot of people that I've met who've had near-death experiences look at life the same way. They look at legacy, they look at leaving something behind to help and serve other people, whether it's your kids, your spouse, maybe a charity. One of his goals was to leave some money to a charity. But he had an interesting point. He goes, I never had a career. And I didn't really get it when he first said it, because he'd already, judging from his financial statement, which was strong, it seemed like he must have had some type of high-income job. He must have had some type of a career. But he has a different way of defining career. The way that he defines it is being able to look back after it's over, after you're, you know, too old to work, and being able to say, I'm proud of what I did, I enjoyed what I did, and if I had to do it all over again, I would do it the same way. Well, his point was, that's not how he feels about his so-called career. I assume what he's talking about is maybe he was in a job that he really didn't like. Maybe he produced something that was not in line with his integrity. He didn't feel like he had a career. So after his near-death experience, what he's doing, and he's doing it through passive investing in apartments, self-storage, and senior living is what I recommended to him. He wants to create these income streams that he can give to his, I think it's called a godchild, and his godmother, and then to charity. And he seems to feel like, hey, that's more of a career than what I had before, because this is something I will look back on, I will be proud of, and if I had to do it all over again, I would do it the same way. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure, most of us never have a near-death experience. When we have our near-death experience, we die at the end. So we don't get to come back from it as a rule, a pretty strong rule. I've always wished for a near-death experience. I've never wanted it. Does that make sense? How crazy that last thing I said was. I would love to have a near-death experience, but I don't want a near-death experience. But I sure wish I had the results of it, I think is what I'm really saying. I wish I could get the results of appreciating my life more, appreciating the people around me more than I presently do. And I work hard to be appreciative and grateful, but I don't think, looking into that man's eyes, that I have the appreciation for life that he does, because he went through that near-death experience. So it was actually a very inspirational meeting. It made me very uncomfortable at certain points, but enlightened at other points. So the nearest thing that I have to share with you, that it comes from Stephen Covey. It's from, I believe it's habit number 2, begin with the end in mind. It's an exercise that you do about your own death. And this is the closest you can come without having a near-death experience. And what you do is you imagine that it's 5 years from today. Try to do this exercise with me. If you're in a car, be safe. Just do it mentally. It's 5 years from today, and you're on the way to a funeral. When you arrive at the funeral, you realize, uh-oh, it's my funeral. There are three main speakers: your spouse or closest relative, if you don't have a spouse, a business associate, and a charity or community or church associate. And what you do is you ask yourself, what would you want those people to say about you? What do you want your life to have been about? And we'll discuss that a little more after the break here on the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Were you told that it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis, where we're talking about near-death experiences and the fact that hopefully most of us will never experience that, but you should want the results, because the results are a greater appreciation for life, a greater gratefulness for the people around you, gratefulness for the country you live in. It's the results of it, if everybody could have it, you know, without having to go through a near-death experience, would be incredible. I think it would change, I know it would change the world for the better. But the only exercise I've ever seen that comes close to that is the one we're going through right now from 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Covey, where, and I said three, I forgot about best friend. It's spouse or closest relative is one speaker. One of your best friends is the second speaker. A business associate, employee, coworker, boss is the third speaker. And then someone from your charity or community service is the fourth speaker. And what you do is you think about it. Let's start with spouse. What do you want your spouse to say about you? Were you understanding, loving, kind, encouraging, supportive? Maybe it's one of your kids because you don't have a spouse. What would they say about you? Or more accurately, for this exercise, what do you want them to say? What is it that you would want to hear? If somehow through death you could hear them, what would you want them to say about you? Think of your best friend next. What do you want them to say about you? That you were a good friend? That you were always there? You could be counted on? They knew you loved them? What do you want them to say? The other one would be your business associate, one of your employees, one of your coworkers. If you just have a job, then maybe a boss. What would you want them to say about you? That you were dedicated, a hard worker, truly cared about the customer. And then the fourth person would be somebody from your charity, community service, maybe a church associate. What do you want them to say about you? When you define that, what you've just defined is your end in mind, your ultimate goal. And the interesting thing is, you notice that there's not one thing that you said that you wanted said about you had anything to do with money or material possessions, did it? You don't want your spouse to go, wow, my husband was rich. Wow, my husband drove a Ferrari and had a lot of nice toys. You don't want that, do you? So those things really aren't your goal. Your real goal is that all those people know that you love them, know that you cared about them, and that you worked diligently to serve them. That's what you want. This is why the Dalai Lama brings up that point that the goal of life, the purpose of life, is to be happy. Caveat, you can't be happy if you're not helping and serving other people. Rings so true. Because when you get to the end of your life, it's not the Ferraris, it's not the houses, it's not even the businesses that you built. It's the people that you loved. Did they know you loved them? Did all of your actions tell them that? See, a lot of people will use the word love. They say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. But their actions say something different. Are your actions congruent with your words? If you do this exercise when you get home, write it down. I did this years ago. I've done it a couple times since. And the interesting thing for me is when I wrote it down the first time, say 30 years ago when I got the book, what I wrote down was, I don't want to say slightly different, because the meaning was dramatically different. So I guess I better admit that what I wrote down 30 years ago and what I wrote down last year was remarkably different in what my goals were. I think that if you grasp this point, you know, I wish everybody could have a near-death experience so that they could get the results that a near-death experience gives them. But I wish they didn't have to have the near-death experience. I wish we could just get the results without, we would appreciate life, we would be grateful for our friends, relatives, lovers, children, we would be more contributing, give more, value ourselves more, value those around us more. I wish we could get all those results. Well, this exercise, if you do it, and if you pick up, you know, go to Amazon.com. It takes you 30 seconds to order the book or download the book and just read it on your Kindle or download the audio and listen to it over the next week. But do this exercise. If you were dead, write down what you want your spouse, your best friend, your business associate, and your charity or community service associate to say. What do you want them to say? And you'll find out who you are or who you want to be. Then what you do is you align all of your actions toward that end in mind. Everything you do should take you closer to that end in mind. As Zig Ziglar puts it, when you have a goal, like having people say certain things about you at your funeral, you ask yourself, every time you make a decision, will this take me closer to that goal or further away from that goal? And the answer to that is whether you make that decision or how you make the decision. It's an incredible tool. So think deeply. If it was your funeral, what would you want these people saying about you? When you do, you'll know who you want to be. And it will wake you up that you're probably not that person yet. That you've got to make some changes. And the wonderful thing is, you can do it. Every one of us can change. All we have to do is make the decision to do it. So I hope that helps. I want to thank that gentleman, if he's listening, for coming in and sharing that story with me. I think he even saw me look away a few times because I was uncomfortable. But I wasn't uncomfortable with you. I was uncomfortable with the thinking about my own death or having a near-death experience. But pick up a copy of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I think it's the third chapter, which is Habit 2, Begin with the End in Mind. And do this exercise and write it down. Then make all of your decisions, how you should respond to your kids, how you respond to your spouse, how you respond to coworkers, how you respond to your charity associates. Every decision you make should lead you closer to that goal. And it makes things very clear. It also gives you that wonderful power of no. Being able to say no to things that really don't bring you closer to your goal. The power of no is amazing. There's multiple books written on it. Some of them are really bad. Some of them are extremely good. But that power of no, being able to say no to the things that won't take you towards your goal is, man, it's life-changing. Life-changing. Okay, we got to go to break in a second. Let me go ahead and open the phone lines, and I'll take your emails as well. Phone lines are open at 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or send me an email, steve@totalwealthacademy.com, steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk more after the break.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I am your host, Steve Davis, and we're going to head into some email questions now. Probably fill up the rest of the show with these questions, and you can join in at any time. Don't worry about interrupting, or don't even worry about having a different subject than what we're discussing. Some of the best questions are just out of the blue. And then it'll lead to two or three other points. So if you've got a fear about investing in real estate, you're worried about the market, or don't know whether you should do passive investing or single family investing, give me a call. 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's steve@totalwealthacademy.com. steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Okay, this is an interesting scenario because it's a cash out refinance versus sell. Randy, it really comes down to the amount of equity that you have in the property. If you've only got, say, 15% equity in the property, maybe 20% equity at the most, then I would just refi. Well, I wouldn't do anything if you only got that much. I kind of look at it like this. If I can refi and pull out enough money to go buy another one, I do it. If I refi and it doesn't produce enough money, I wait until it does. The only concern I have is I don't know how many houses you have. You may have 10 of these. I met with a gentleman last night who had over $1 million equity in his single family homes. With all due respect, this individual doesn't know what they're doing. He should have moved commercial years ago, and he would have $2 or $3 million right now, not just $1 million. So, Randy, if you've got a bunch of properties, 10, 15 of them, if you've got a ton of equity, probably $400,000 or more, maybe even $200,000 or more that you can get out after all fees, everything, you can taxes, everything. If you can walk with $200,000 or more, you're really ready to move to passive investing, which is your highest and best form. So there's the two ways that I would make that decision if I were you, Randy, if I have just a couple of homes and I'm really just starting out, then I look at, can I pull out enough money to go buy another one? It takes about $30,000 to buy a rent house right now. If I can pull out $30,000, then yeah, I'm going to refinance it. If you've got a large group of them and you can pull out $200,000, then sell them all. Get that money in your hands, join a club like ours, become a sophisticated investor, and start investing passively and start building wealth much more rapidly. So I hope that helps, Randy. I will email you after the show to make sure that, one, you heard it, and two, that was the question you were asking. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV. The next one is from Brosnan, who's in Atlanta, and he wonders if he can raise capital at Total Wealth Academy for properties in Atlanta. And the answer is yes. You know, I would have to vet you. I'm going to need references. I'm going to need to see your track record. And there's a lot more to it, credit and criminal report and so on. So yes is the answer. And yeah, being in Atlanta means nothing. We're investing all across the United States, Tennessee, Florida, Phoenix, and of course, all over the Midwest, including Texas, all over Texas, Corpus Christi, even further south, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth. So being in Atlanta doesn't mean anything. You're fine. Just be prepared. You've got to go through the vetting process. And if you're credible, you'll have no problem whatsoever. So I'll fire you an email and we'll set up a time to meet on a Zoom meeting. Okay, phone lines are open, 281-558-5738, 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's steve@totalwealthacademy.com, steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Now this is a letter from, an email from Rick. And this is interesting. Los Angeles, California. You're in Los Angeles, but you're talking about, what is this? Birmingham, Alabama. Interesting. Okay. So you're a real estate agent in Los Angeles. You've gotten a report that rent has gone down $30 over the last 3 months. I'm not seeing any reduction in rents in Texas. Don't know much about the Birmingham, Alabama market, but I am pretty sure that's misinformation. Rents are going up across the United States. The only thing that may have happened is they over-raised them, and now there's a slight correction coming in Alabama, but it's not going to be anything major, Rick. So I would not worry much about it at all. If you're investing in Birmingham, Alabama, just make sure that the next properties that you buy are based off the new lower rents. The reason this never affects me, Rick, is because I always go with the average rent. These numbers are based off of the high as a rule. They're looking at properties that got the highest rent possible, and then they had to back off of it the following year because they overcharged the last year and they can't find somebody dumb enough to pay that much. So they lower their rate, when really they just got lucky with that dummy who paid more than it was worth. You know, there's a lot to this, Rick, But it's not something I would worry about. Just make sure that when you run your comparable rents and your comparable sales, go with the average sale price, go with the average rent, and you're going to make money. I don't think you're going to have any problem whatsoever. So good luck. All right. Phone lines are open, 281-558-5738. 281-558-KSEV, or email me. It's totalwealthacademy.com. Steve@totalwealthacademy.com. Okay, let's see the next email. This one is a wholesaling. I think I got this question, a similar question the other day, Jack. This comes up quite a bit because people, there's two different types of marketing when you're a wholesaler. The first type of marketing is finding your buyers. The first thing you want to do, Jack, is line up a buyer's list. Your buyer's list should be about 40 investors. You should know them by name, know their contact information, know whether they use hard money or whether they pay cash, know exactly the parts of town they want to be in or the price range they want to be in. Marketing for them is extremely simple. You join a local real estate investor club. It just boggles my mind. If you wanted to be a good tennis player, you join a tennis club. If you want to be a good, you join a basketball club. You know, whatever you want to do that you want to be good at. But real estate investors, for some reason, they go out there and try to do this on their own. I don't know if it's just the arrogance or what it is. But yeah, join a real estate investor group. Join us. And it's $500. Covers you for 2 years. You can build your buyer's list in a matter of weeks. The second definition of marketing is marketing for the properties themselves. What you do is you go to a company like realestateiq.co, realestateiq.co. They have lists of distressed sellers. Literally lists of them. People going through divorce. People who have passed away recently. People going through foreclosure or pre-foreclosure. Lazy landlords that just want to get rid of their property because they don't know how to manage it. Then marketing to those lists, I believe, is what you're referring to when you ask your question. So marketing to those lists, you should spend, to be effective, about $1,000 a month on mail outs to those people. You should also be calling any of them that you have a phone number on. So be careful. You need a good script. I actually teach that in my Saturday class, which is covered by the 500 I described. But I think that's the marketing you're referring to. The nice thing, Jack, is if you spend $2,000, you do twice as many deals. You do $3,000, you do three times as many deals. So you can scale it. All right. This is the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Davis. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing.
Welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I am your host, Steve Davis. I'm going to answer this last email, and I think it's going to be the last because it's going to consume the rest of the show. We're in the final segment, so I'm not going to answer phone calls. It's basically a lady going, I understand how real estate makes money four ways, but my husband doesn't believe me. He's listening. Would you please go through it? The answer is yes, absolutely. And give your husband a hug and a kiss for listening with you. You know, it takes courage. A lot of people, you know, they're so set in their ways, they wouldn't even listen to the show with you. So give them a hug and a kiss, and let's go through this. let's just take an average single family house, and we'll take a little $200,000 ARV, after repair value house. This particular subject property was in Katy, just west of Houston, right off of a street called West Green. And I was able to pick it up for about $115,000. Why so cheap? Because it had massive deferred maintenance. There were holes in the wall, missing doors, broken windows, missing screens. The roof was okay, the foundation was okay, but it needed paint, all new flooring, and a new kitchen. So that came to about $45,000. I'm going to have about $10,000 in holding costs and closing costs on a deal like this, $10,000. When you add those three together, the purchase price, the rehab, the holding and closing costs, you come up with your all-in cost. In this case, $170,000. Now, if you used a conventional loan, which this house wouldn't qualify for a conventional loan because of the holes in the wall, missing carpet, things like that. But if you could, this deal would be $67,000 down. $67,000 out of pocket. But using a thing called a hard money loan, which is what we use at Total Wealth Academy whenever we buy flip houses or rental property, I was able to get this deal for just about $20,000 down. That means I was financing $150,000, if that makes sense. Remember, my all-in price, $170,000, $20,000 down. That left me financing $150,000. So how does this thing make you money? The first and most important is the cash flow. That's the most important. This is money that you can pay your car note with, pay garbage, gas, electric, go out to dinner with. I mean, it's cash flow in your pocket. In this case, I had a $1,750 rent. My principal, interest, taxes, and insurance was right around $1,100 a month. Let's take out $300 for maintenance and vacancy. It's never that high, but let's just do it. That leaves a net cash flow of $350 a month, or $4,200 per year. And what you do is you compare that to your total out-of-pocket, which was $20,000. $4,200 divided by the $20,000 you have in it is a 21% cash-on-cash rate of return. Three times the stock market average. And this particular way is only one of four ways that we're going to discuss. Okay, so cash flow, 21% rate of return, three times the stock market historical average. All right, I did get a phone call, so let's take this. Robert in Houston. Robert, thanks a lot for calling in. How are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you for asking. Okay. I own like 10 rental properties.
Awesome.
And I also have about 100 acres of timberland out in East Texas in 250 acre tracts. And those properties were assessed at about $4,200 per acre. I was thinking about like getting a loan against the timberland to pay for rehabbing my rental properties. Is that the right way to do it, or what am I missing out, or could you educate me?
You know, Robert, I would appreciate it if you'd let me call you. This
okay.
is not a 10-minute question.
Ooh.
And I'll be happy to spend 20 or 30 minutes with you on the phone, because
yes,
you
sir.
Are sitting on a hellacious opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Better than I think you think.
Yes.
Fire me an email and give me your phone number, and I'll call you after the show.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Have a successful day.
You too. Thanks a lot. Holy Toledo. Man, talk about an opportunity. That's incredible. Amazing. Okay. The next way that real estate makes you money, cash flow is number one, is equity pickup or equity capture. If you remember, my all-in price was $170, but the thing was worth $200. So when you subtract the 170 from the 200, that means that I picked up $30,000 equity the instant I signed those papers purchasing the property. If you had done this deal, your net worth went up $30,000 instantly. Now, let's compare it to the down payment. $30,000 divided by the $20,000 you have in the deal. How many of you can do that rate of return in your head? It's 150% rate of return. Let me say that again. 150% rate of return. Now, some of you are going, oh, I get 100% rate of return in my 401k because my company matches up to 3% or 6% of my pay. Do you see why I'm not impressed by that? I just showed you how to make 150%, and there's no limit. There's no 3% or 6% limit. As many times as you want to do it, you can do it. So this blows the 100% rate of return on a 401k out of the water. The next way, the third way that it makes you money is principal reduction or principal pay down. All that means is every month that your renter pays their rent, you make your mortgage payment, reducing what you owe on the property. So every month, you're reducing what you owe on the property. Now, it's not going to be much, say $1,800 a year. But $1,800 divided by the $20,000 you have in it, that's another 9% rate of return, which beats the stock market. Just so you know, mutual fund stock market, the average is 7.5% over the last 75 years. That's your rate of return. I know some of you go, well, this year I got 16 or I got 20. I don't give a, who cares? The average is 7.5. We're killing you. We are cleaning your clock. If you start investing in real estate, you will never buy another stock again. That is a 9% rate of return. The fourth way, remember, number one, cash flow. Number two, equity capture. Number three, principal reduction. And number four, appreciation. Now, what's appreciation? Your property's going to double in value every 20 years. A lot of people don't realize that. Realize this, that's only 3%. 3% annually. Your property's going to go up an average of 3% annually. But over 20 years, that 3% equals 100% rate, or double in your value. It's actually a little more than that. And that's since 1776. Real estate has doubled or more than doubled in value every 20 years. Now, some of you are going, okay, so that's a 3% rate of return. What would your financial planner say? That's a 3% rate of return. Wrong. See, the actual rate of return is 30%. Why? What's 3% of $200,000? $6,000. Divided by the $20,000 you have in it, that's another 30% rate of return. And why doesn't your financial planner understand that? Remember, they don't own any real estate. They've never been trained in it. They've never taken a course on it. And they want to sell you stocks and mutual funds and bonds and silver and gold or whatever they get paid a commission on. Don't ever forget that the average financial planner in the U.S. makes $65,000 a year. You make more money than they do. Yet you go to them and ask them for financial advice? Ludicrous. So, when you add these together, cash flow, 21% rate of return. Equity capture, 150% rate of return. Principal reduction, 9% rate of return. Appreciation, 30% rate of return. Your total rate of return the first year is 210%. how are your stocks doing? All right. That's all the time I got. I hope that helps you, Mrs. Anonymous. And thank your husband for listening. I want to thank everybody else for listening. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.